Ryan Rashog joins us. Shogger, how are you?
I'm doing well, buddy. How are you today?
Outstanding. Fred Stamps traded to Montreal. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm not really surprised. I think the page had turned on Fred here a little bit. I think he was very seldom used for a big chunk of that season. I think the reemergence of Adarius Bowman made it very clear he was the featured receiver. And I think the general manager just felt like it was time to move on with Fred. And it was pretty clear in the way they used him last year. So I'd assume there's probably no hard feelings either way and just a business decision. And so Fred moves on. It's not really surprising to me. How about you?
Oh, no, not at all. I've been saying it for a year. I thought Fred Stamps was going to get traded. I'm a little surprised Montreal, but then again, I didn't know Carter and Green would both leave at the same time, so I understand why Montreal steps up and makes this trade. And they're still hoping that Fred Stamps has a few good years left in him, right? He's nearing that age as a receiver where a lot of them start to slow down a little bit. Now, last year obviously wasn't a great year for him, only 33 catches, but the previous 5 years for him, very consistent, ranging from 68 to 85 catches, anywhere from 1,153 yards up to 1,402. So, he had a five good year stretch. And I've had a lot of people saying, I was reading on Twitter, they say this guy's a Hall of Famer. He needs more years before he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I would think so too. And I don't know. I mean, I think Fred's still got some game left in him. I think he'll be motivated by what happened this year. And he'll be motivated and probably, I mean, he was always in great physical condition. He always worked really hard. So I think he might be one of those guys that finds a little something, even at his age, and he'll really want to prove he can still be an effective player.
So
I think he'll be good for them.
I'll be surprised if he doesn't get 1,000 yards because Green and Carter are gone. He knows the quarterback. He's a good possession receiver, and he'll likely play the inside slot on the short side of the field, which usually gets the most balls. So, I think people will look at Fred Stamps' numbers and be frustrated and say, well, he could have done that here, but he's not going to play the same position here that he's going to play over there because they've got Adarius Bowman.
Yeah, exactly, and that's just it, right? Bowman was... Well, he was dominant last year, and they fully want and expect him to be again next year. And he's their feature guy, and that's the way it's going to stay. So it's both sides move on, and I'm not sure how. What's the return? I mean, is it about what you would have expected for Fred Stamps?
It's hard because he's a 33, 34-year-old receiver.
Yeah,
right. Comes with a pretty hefty ticket. So, that matters. They got a young receiver with potential is what they got in this deal. And, when you look at trades, and this is kind of how it is, right? You save cap space. You get a younger guy who's quicker and bigger. I don't think he'll ever have the same hands as Fred Stamps because Fred Stamps is an elite ball catcher. But for what the Eskimos need, this guy, maybe Kenny's going to bring it. We'll see. He's the scouting report reputation on him thus far anyway for Kenny Stafford is, good speed, could move, but consistency's been his big problem. So, that's a lot of young receivers. So we'll see if he can become consistent. And if he does, he'll get an opportunity here because they don't have much speed in the receiving core right now.
Yeah, for sure. And it's interesting, right, with Ed Hervey, like Ed being the scout that he was, by all counts, a very good scout. He was an exceptional receiver. So when Ed Hervey makes a deal involving a young receiver that maybe has some potential, you got to think Ed's had eyes on this guy and maybe has his own read on him. And maybe Ed knows something that maybe some others don't because of his experience. So we'll see if they turn the return into something usable, and if that's the advantage of having a guy like Ed Hervey pulling the trigger on those deals, because he's a scout, former player, and knows his stuff when it comes to receivers. Maybe he sees something there.
Well, I had Ed on the show, and we're going to replay that interview because I know there's a lot of football fans curious about it. But he mentioned that he makes moves not necessarily about salary cap, but trust me, salary cap's an issue here. Of course,
oh,
it
yeah.
is. Right? It's an issue for a lot of teams. Every team goes through it, and if you're going to look at guys you're going to pay big money to, Fred Stamps in this offense wasn't going to be used to make it worthy of what he was getting paid. He just wasn't going to be.
Yeah, and Ed's a pretty realistic guy. I'm sure he's got all the respect in the world for Fred Stamps, and you know, probably knew he'd get a better opportunity elsewhere, and that it made sense on a number of fronts, salary cap, opportunity-wise, get a little bit younger, chance to add some speed. It just sounds like Ed had this thought through. And, yeah, we'll see how Stafford is here. But people might think the Eskimos lose the trade because Stamps ends up going there and we'll probably have a good year. But it wouldn't have been the same fit here. I agree with you completely.
Did you happen to read, have you ever read Paul Stewart online, the former NHL official?
No, I haven't actually.
Well, you should, I'll put a link and send it to you on Twitter.
Yeah, that'd be great.
He ripped apart Andy Brickley and Jack Edwards, just saying how it's a disgrace, the NESN broadcast, because, you know, they're claiming that Marchand wasn't a slew foot, and, you know, that the guys, they're so biased that it's beyond the sanctity of the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I tend to tread pretty carefully about criticizing other broadcasters. But I mean, we've all watched the highlights of anytime Lucic gets in a fight, it's just the most one-sided thing you've ever heard in your life, right? So, yeah, they definitely have a reputation. I will say that they have that reputation as being those guys who very much are the home. I mean, that's such a slew foot. It was a vicious slew foot. It was skating right towards the boards, took out both legs. I mean, it was a vicious slew foot, and it's, you know, say what you want about two games. There's no denying what that was, and anybody that suggests otherwise just is not seeing the game properly. They're looking through some Kool-Aid-colored glasses.
Let's move to the Edmonton Oilers. They're in Florida tomorrow night. Missed opportunity last night against Tampa Bay, man. The Lightning without Victor Hedman, man. They were giving up scoring chance after scoring chance. And the Oilers, in a lot of cases, A, didn't capitalize, and B, didn't even get shots on net.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when we talked yesterday about what we expected out of Tampa, and they had Johnson in the lineup, but Tampa actually was kind of willing to trade chances with the Oilers last night. And I thought that the Oilers had as many or if not more scoring chances through at least the first 40 minutes, there were goals to be had there. Totally. I mean, a few goal posts and it's a different game. But Tampa just showed itself in that third period. That's where you learn so much, right? It's a third period. It's a close game. Do you know how to win or not? And, you know, the Oilers just allowed Tampa to take the game over and could not match what Tampa was bringing. And in the end, they made one really bad mistake too many, and it ended up costing them the game. But that's just another example of how they have the guns to hang around in games, and they have the guns to be there, but they just don't know how to close teams out. I mean, that game should have been over after the first period. The Oilers should have had three or four goals in that first period, but whether it's missing the net or not cashing in on opportunities. And that's the same as coming out and not playing great. I mean, you're not doing what you need to do to win. And another example of a game that got away that could have been theirs for the taking.
What do you make of the first period? Three glorious chances. Nugent Hopkins, last second passes, don't get a shot. Schultz, I don't know what he was doing on a great pass from Lander. And Nail Yakupov, like really good opportunities, and they didn't even get a shot on net.
Yeah, well, and if you look at what they worked on in practice today, I mean, Nelson did that drill where you push the nets really close together and you have basically two or three guys standing there. Passing the puck around and just shooting, like basically just quick passes, quick shots, quick decisions. You could tell he was frustrated about the exact same thing based on the way he put his practice together today. So I think he was frustrated at that. They're turning away shooting opportunities. I will say this, though. I don't want to overstate it because I don't think it's a huge difference, but I really feel that Nail Yakupov's playing a better brand of hockey right now. And I thought last night that line was you know, their one of their better lines, if not their best line. And I think he hit a couple of posts. And he still makes those mistakes that drive you nuts. And there's still stuff in his game that I'm sure drives his teammates nuts. But I see Yakupov finding a little bit of a fit on that line. I thought he was better last night, and that's a good sign. And I've been impressed lately with the way Nail seems to have kind of calmed his game down a little bit. Now, am I drinking Kool-Aid here, or are you seeing the same thing?
Yeah, maybe not as much as you're seeing. You know, he's playing with Pouliot and Roy, and Pouliot's their best forward right now. And yeah. so I think that plays a part in it. But to me, when I listen to Derek Roy's comments said, hey, the other team doesn't know what he's doing, and sometimes we don't either. That to me yeah. was the, you know, and that was the glaring quote from him that he's still at times, like I watch him and I've always said it, effort's not the issue with Yakupov. I don't really question the effort, but it's playing within the realms of a system and playing within to help your teammates, right? Yeah. Like I still see him, and I don't know, maybe he's trying to think or he's thinking too much, but yeah, I haven't seen, like last night, you know what, the one thing, okay, I will give him this, he's starting to shoot more on the rush. Like,
yeah, he's trying to, in
motion, he's shooting the puck. And, you know, last night, rang one right off the goalpost, clearly beat Bishop on a great shot. Now, you know what, if that's a half an inch or an inch a little bit more to the left, or to the right, excuse me, then that's a net, right? And, you know, people are like, hey, Yakupov scoring. But I am seeing that from him. I'm still yeah. not seeing an improvement how to use his line mates, though.
Yeah, and I mean, like, Derek Roy is a nice fit for him. I would suspect that Todd Nelson will keep those guys together and keep letting it roll. Pouliot's been a really good presence on that line, too. Like, Nail had six shot attempts last night, right? He had two that got on net, two that were blocked, and two that missed. Roy had six, right? Four shots, one block, one miss. Now, the thing that you love about Pouliot, four shots, all of them hit the net, two of them went in. He hits the net, right? Like, he's making his shots count, his shot attempts count. So I like the blend that's on the line, and maybe it is more about his line mates. I'm not sure. But
which is fine, because you need – everybody needs line mates, you know, to
absolutely.
Produce somewhat.
Absolutely. I see him trying to use them. I see him trying to shoot more. I see him trying to calm his game down a little bit and not be such a jitterbug and overhandle the puck all the time. Like, I'm not sure. I'm not ready to say that he's playing way, way better, because the points don't bear that out. But I'm seeing some improvement in Yakupov in maybe some intangible kind of ways, and I think that's one positive thing. And if he can continue this for the rest of the year, just keep his play, you know, an even slight improvement here, I think if he can finish strong, then maybe some of this season for him is salvaged. Because if the rest of the season went the way the first half did, it would be an unmitigated disaster. But I've seen some improvement in Nail, and really it goes back to the coaching change, I think, since I've seen it.
What do you make of Schultz playing 24 minutes?
Yeah, this is Todd Nelson going through the exact same thing Dallas Eakins went through earlier this year, right? So this year, Dallas Eakins looks at it and goes, okay, if we're going to succeed, I need Justin Schultz to start developing into what Justin Schultz is supposed to be. So you have the big talk with him. You're going to get the opportunity. You're our guy. And he starts getting the minutes. And he gets the minutes, and he gets the minutes, and he gets the minutes. And his play doesn't dictate that he should continue getting it, but the coach gives him the benefit of the doubt. The GM wants him to play. You just keep playing him, playing him, playing him. Meanwhile, Mark Fain is like 14, 15 minutes a night, right? Eventually, Dallas Eakins figured out, okay, he's not playing well enough. He can't handle these minutes. It's too much. He's miscast. This doesn't make sense. Fain gets more minutes. Schultz minutes come down, right? Exit Dallas Eakins. Enter a new head coach. He's looking at it going, I've got a relationship with this player, played great for me before. I know what he's capable of. I believe in you, Justin. You're going to get the opportunity. Here you go. Minutes, 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 minutes. And it's going to take a little bit of time for Todd Nelson to come to the same conclusion that we're already at, that Dallas Eakins himself was at. He doesn't deserve those minutes. He can't handle those minutes. He's not that guy, because whose minutes are down right now? Mark Fain played 14 minutes and 21 seconds in that game. At even strength, right? He played 14 minutes 59 total in that game. Not nearly enough for Mark Fain. The exact same thing is happening with Nelson that happened with Eakins. It's going to have to run its course, and it will shift.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing to me how Schultz is playing 20-40 5-on-5, and, you know, like Oscar Klefbom, who was his partner, is playing 4 minutes less than, you know, in that game. It's just why this guy is getting extra shifts. I don't get it. Unless the decision is we're going to run with Schultz because, A, we're hoping to God he improves, and it also improves our chances of losing.
Wow. I mean, I don't think on the coaching level they're running him out there thinking that. I mean, the one thing I will say about Justin's game last night, he had 8 shot attempts, put 5 shots on net. That message is getting through. They want him shooting the puck, so that's that's all well and good. At least last night it was. But honestly, I think there's a negotiation coming up, and the Oilers need to be able to look at his agent and say, we gave your guy every bit as much opportunity as P.K. Subban has, as Justin Falk has, as Chris Letang. We treated him like he was our guy, like one of the guys, and this is what he gave us. That is why we're only offering you, you know, the $4 million qualifying offer. That's why we're not putting 5 years on the table. Like, they've given him every opportunity to be an elite defenseman or show that development, and it's not there. So when it comes time to negotiate, there could be no question from Schultz's camp that he was given every opportunity to succeed, and he was very, very middling to below average.
Well, I'm telling you, they shouldn't worry about the negotiation. It's pretty simple to me. Oh, Justin, you want a one-year deal? Great, because they can't give him a raise, for goodness sakes. It's a terrible year, and they're going to have to qualify him at 3.8. It's awful.
Yeah. Do they not have to qualify him at a slight raise?
No, you don't have to give a raise once you're making over the league average.
Oh, okay, I see. So they can just qualify him. And then, you know, they get into this whole thing with trying to project where he's going to be at, you know. And here they are sitting there with Jeff Petrie, who is a real good NHL defenseman, but what they've asked him to be here, it's never been a fit. So he's just never lived up to the expectations because he's been put in the wrong place the whole time. If the expectation on Jeff Petrie was never to be anything other than a number four defenseman and maybe second power play now and then, that'd be one thing. But there's been this expectation like he was going to develop into a top-pairing guy and take that kind of responsibility in those kind of matchups. And they never had anybody else to insulate Jeff Petrie. Well, it feels like it's never really been a great fit. Yet, he's a good NHL defenseman. He'll be good somewhere. But in a role where it makes sense and he's not asked to do more than he's capable of.
Fane's got to play more minutes. It's as simple
totally
as that.
Agree.
To him and Oscar Klefbom should be a pair the rest of the year because that's going to be their pair to be a shutdown pair next season because Petrie's not going to be here. So it's not hard
but
to figure out.
You see what I'm saying, though, about how it's taken Todd a little bit of time to get there, right? Dallas eventually got there and realized it, and it's taking for Todd Nelson to come in and immediately not go to Justin Schultz and give him the opportunity in the minutes. He's like, he's got to run that exercise. He's the new head coach. Everybody gets a clean slate with the new head coach. That's what he preaches. When he's in his one-on-one with Justin Schultz, he says, look, I don't care what's gone on previous to this. I know what you're capable of, so you got a clean slate with me. Well, that's what we're witnessing right now. But the results aren't much different, so he's going to get there. He'll bring the minutes back, and Fane will earn his trust and respect slowly here, and you'll see his minutes come up.
It's kind of funny, though, in the games that New York, Detroit, Chicago, he was playing less. It's only the last three games where he's up to 23 or 24 again. So that's we'll see how it goes, but I just don't think he's a guy that's worthy of those minutes or capable of those minutes at all. Shogger, have yourself a good weekend. Will the Oilers win tomorrow?
They're on the road, right?
Florida.
So no.
Okay.
How does anybody call an Oilers win on the road right now?
It's a good call. It's a good call, buddy. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too, pal.